Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress,
to visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Say hello to making everyday routines a bit more magical. Say hello to sunshine and goodbye to boring. Say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that are just friendly. Products that add a little everyday yay to your day. Like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. Doesn't exist, you say? It's just a myth, a legend, a unicorn. Yeah, it's a unicorn. Hello's Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, and it makes brushing fun. Also prevents cavities, strengthens enamel, helps brush away plaque, and all that important toothpastey stuff. And they didn't forget adults. That's where Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste comes in. It takes care of plaque, tartar, and bad breath for a friendly mouth. And it's made with farm-grown peppermint for a friendly flavor. Speaking of friendly, Hello is vegan, cruelty-free, and not tested on animals. So take your day to the next level, a happier one. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
This is a True Crime in Real Time update from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
It was a quiet, unassuming morning when Lori Vallow, the woman now notorious for the deaths of her children, spoke to her only surviving son, Colby Ryan. From her prison cell, where she is serving a life sentence without parole for the murders of Tylee Ryan and J.J. Vallow, Lori seemed to think she could explain away what had happened. And perhaps convince Colby of her innocence, or at least her version of the truth. What followed was a bizarre, convoluted conversation that only deepened the mystery around this case and Lori's state of mind. In the summer of 2020, the world was horrified as the bodies of Lori's children were discovered on the property of her fifth husband, Chad Daybell. 7-year-old JJ found wrapped in plastic and duct tape, buried in a shallow grave. 16-year-old Tylee reduced to little more than remnants after her body had been burned and dismembered. And yet, as the evidence mounted against Lori and Chad, Lori stuck to her story. A story so unbelievable, so delusional, that even her son struggled to make sense of it. This story begins where it always does. With Lori, a woman who once seemed like any other mother, slowly spiraling into a world of apocalyptic beliefs and divine missions, a world she shared with Chad Daybell, the man who allegedly encouraged her to believe that her children had become zombies, possessed by dark spirits. But Lori, in her interview with Colby, denied ever using the word zombie. Whoever made up this whole zombie thing and escalated what my basic belief was, that has gone out of control, she said. Her voice, even over the crackling prison phone, was firm, defiant. She insisted that evil spirits could possess people, sure, but as for zombies, that wasn't her. But what did Lori believe? And what did she really think had happened to her children? In the phone call with Colby, Lori presented a new version of events, one in which she was merely a mother who had walked in on a tragic scene. She claimed that Tylee had accidentally killed JJ while babysitting him, and overcome with guilt, had taken her own life afterward. According to Lori, that's what happened on that terrible day. I thought Tylee did it to get back at me, she told Colby. I thought it was all my fault. And yet, despite the gruesome state in which JJ and Tylee's bodies were found, Lori claimed she had no idea what had happened to them after she ran from the room. Their spirits were gone, she said. They were already in heaven. It was a bizarre, unsettling tale. But as Colby pressed his mother for more details, her answers grew even more confusing, more disjointed. How, he asked, did their bodies end up buried in Chad Daybell's backyard? Lori's response was vague, almost evasive. Anything that was done was after the fact, she insisted, long after the fact. She was adamant that the bodies had been dealt with by someone else, though she didn't specify who. Instead, Lori remained focused on her own narrative, a narrative where she claimed to be the victim of an overwhelming spiritual attack, a mission she believed had been given to her by Jesus himself. For Colby, the conversation was a deeply painful one. It was clear from the outset that he was struggling to reconcile the woman he had once known as his mother with the person on the other end of the line. He had his doubts about Lori's mental state, about the events she described, and about everything that had led to the deaths of his brother and sister. "I've dreamed dreams of me delivering you from demons," he told her at one point, his voice raw with emotion. "I do not share your beliefs." But Lori, it seemed, could not be swayed. She doubled down on her story, insisting that what had happened was far beyond human understanding. She claimed that both Tylee and JJ had visited her in spirit, explaining their deaths, and in Tylee's case, even apologizing to her. "The very first thing she told me was, 'I'm sorry, Mom, for being such a brat,'" Lori recalled, her voice soft with what sounded like maternal nostalgia. But Colby wasn't having it. He demanded to know why Tylee's body had been found dismembered and burned, why JJ had been bound in plastic and buried. Lori's response, "I wasn't aware of what happened to them after I left that scene." It was a chilling statement. Lori, it seemed, was suggesting that someone else had taken care of the bodies. "But who?" Colby asked the question directly, and Lori's answer was equally direct. "You're saying someone else took care of the situation?" "Correct." She provided no further explanation, no details about who that might have been, only repeating that by the time she found her children, their spirits were already gone. But it was clear that for Colby, none of this made sense. He had listened to the evidence, spoken with prosecutors, and studied the case against his mother. He had seen what had been done to Tylee and JJ, the brutality with which their bodies had been treated. "It wasn't even human," he said, his voice breaking. "It's the most brutal thing I've ever heard in my life." And yet, Lori seemed almost indifferent to the physical reality of her children's remains. "Once you're dead, you don't care what happens to your body," she said dismissively. It was a comment that left Colby, and anyone else listening, deeply disturbed. Lori's detachment from the reality of her children's deaths was perhaps the most unsettling part of the entire conversation. At one point, she tried to explain why she had kept everything a secret. She claimed that she had been protecting Tylee, trying to shield her daughter from the consequences of what Lori believed had been an accident. "I would have done anything to protect Tylee," she said. "In my mind at that time, I was still protecting Tylee." But the evidence told a different story, and Colby knew it. He had seen the autopsy reports, the photos, the forensic details. His brother and sister had been brutally murdered. And Lori's explanation that Tylee had killed JJ in a fit of frustration and then taken her own life didn't line up with what had actually happened. Still, Lori clung to her story. She framed it as a tragic accident, something she had tried to manage as best as she could. But as the phone call continued, it became clear that her version of events wasn't just a matter of protecting Tylee's memory. It was part of a much larger, much more troubling belief system. Lori told Colby that she had been given a divine mission by Jesus Christ himself, a mission that required her to suffer. Just like the biblical figure Job. "This is Lucifer attacking our lives," she said. "You have also been attacked." She seemed to see herself as a martyr, a woman chosen by God to endure unimaginable suffering as part of a higher plan. It was this belief that seemed to fuel Lori's conviction that she had done nothing wrong. Throughout the conversation, she repeatedly told Colby that he didn't understand the full story and that no one did. Only she, Lori, insisted, knew the truth. She claimed that she had written out the real story in a 38-page document, one she had tried to get to Colby through her attorneys. "I need this to get to Colby," she said. "I don't care who else it has to go through, but I don't think it's fair to Colby to not have this information." But as Colby listened to his mother's ramblings, it was clear that he wasn't buying it. He pressed her again and again, trying to get her to admit what had really happened. He asked her about the evidence, the brutality of Tylee's remains, the bag JJ had been found in. Lori, though, remained steadfast. "They were gone," she said. "They were already in heaven." She spoke as if the physical bodies of her children didn't matter, as if the fact that they had been found buried in shallow graves was irrelevant to the larger spiritual picture. It was this kind of thinking, this detachment from reality, that had defined Lori's actions for years. From the moment she met Chad Daybell and became enmeshed in his doomsday teachings, Lori's grip on reality had seemed to slip further and further away. She embraced the idea that her children were dark spirits, and when they were gone, she didn't mourn them as a mother should. Instead, she framed their deaths as part of a larger spiritual battle, one in which she was playing a pivotal role. As the conversation with Colby drew to a close, Lori made one final plea. She asked her son to try and understand her, to accept that she had been acting according to divine will. "I love you more than anything," she told him. "You will know one day. Everyone will know." But for Colby, it was too late. He had already lost his mother, not just to the prison system, but to the dangerous, delusional beliefs that had led to the deaths of his siblings. "I forgive you," he said, his voice heavy with resignation. But it was clear that forgiveness did not mean reconciliation. Colby would never forget what had happened, and he would never allow his mother to be part of his life again. As the phone call ended, one thing was clear. Lori Vallow was not the woman Colby had once known. She had become someone else, someone who believed she was on a divine mission. Even as the bodies of her children lay in the ground, the Lori Vallow that Colby Ryan once knew had vanished, replaced by someone who seemed lost in a world of religious fantasies, distorted beliefs, and dangerous delusions. The phone call, meant to provide clarity, only raised more questions. How could a mother who once professed so much love for her children speak so coldly about their deaths? How could she cling to a story that defied both logic and evidence and expect her son to accept it as truth? Throughout the conversation, Lori's unwavering conviction in her own righteousness was chilling. "I wasn't being rational," she admitted at one point, but that admission didn't come with any sense of accountability. Instead, she framed her actions as those of a mother trying to protect her daughter, even though the evidence pointed to something far more sinister. Lori's insistence that Tylee had somehow killed JJ out of frustration. And guilt simply didn't hold up against the brutal reality of how their bodies had been treated. The discovery of Tylee's remains, scattered and charred, painted a grim picture that stood in stark contrast to Lori's serene descriptions of spirits visiting her from the afterlife. And JJ, his body bound, gagged, and hidden, was not the product of an accidental death, as Lori tried to suggest. Yet, she spoke as if these facts didn't matter, as if her version of events would somehow erase the horrors of what had actually occurred. Lori's delusions were not new, but hearing her speak them aloud to her son underscored just how far she had gone. She spoke of visits from Jesus, of being tasked with a divine mission, and of a personal battle against Lucifer himself. This was a woman who saw herself not as a criminal, but as a martyr. "Lucifer has done everything to get me to take my own life," she told Colby, casting herself as the central figure in a cosmic struggle between good and evil. In her mind, she was Job, a righteous sufferer being tested by God. But in reality, she was a mother convicted of the unthinkable, of orchestrating the deaths of her own children. As Colby listened to his mother's ramblings, it became clear that his hope for answers would remain unfulfilled. He asked direct, pointed questions, trying to piece together the truth of what had happened. Why had Ty Lee's body been dismembered and burned? Who had buried JJ in a plastic bag? Lori's responses were vague, evasive. She admitted that someone else had taken care of the situation, but refused to name who that person might have been. She claimed that by the time she found her children, their spirits were already gone, as if that absolved her of any responsibility. But Colby wasn't convinced. He had seen the evidence. He had read the autopsy reports, seen the crime scene photos. He knew that what had been done to his siblings was no accident. "I can't sit here and pretend like this isn't what it is," he told his mother. "I don't think that's what happened." His voice was filled with the pain of a man who had not only lost his brother and sister, but had also lost his mother to a world of delusions and lies. For Colby, the hardest part of the conversation was reconciling the woman who raised him with the person she had become. He remembered Lori as a loving, protective mother, a woman who had done everything she could to care for her children. And yet, here she was, speaking casually about their deaths, insisting that she was on a divine mission, and refusing to take any responsibility for the horrors that had unfolded. "None of this is congruent to the person that raised me," Colby said, his voice breaking. "Nothing." Lori, however, didn't seem to see it that way. She continued to insist that everything had happened according to some larger plan, one that she alone understood. She spoke of Jesus ordaining her to do a job, of being visited by both Christ and Lucifer, of spiritual battles that only she could comprehend. "This is my mission, and my mission will be revealed to everybody at some point," she told Colby. "You will know." But for Colby, that wasn't enough. He needed real answers, not the vague, mystical explanations Lori kept offering. He needed to know why his brother and sister were dead, why their bodies had been desecrated, why Lori had chosen to hide the truth for so long. But Lori, wrapped up in her own delusions, couldn't or wouldn't give him those answers. As the conversation wore on, Colby's frustration grew. He tried to explain to Lori that he had turned to God for guidance, that he had prayed and studied the Bible in an effort to make sense of what had happened. But nothing in Lori's story aligned with his faith, his understanding of the world. "You and I are on completely two different sides," he told her. "I do not agree with what you believe." It was a heartbreaking admission, one that seemed to finally break through the wall of denial Lori had built around herself. But even then, Lori couldn't fully let go of her story. She continued to insist that she had been acting according to divine will, that her suffering was part of a larger plan. She spoke of her mission, of being like Job, and of her certainty that one day everyone, including Colby, would understand the truth. "When we all get to heaven, you'll know," she said, her voice calm, almost serene. "That's all I can tell you." It was a chilling moment, one that highlighted just how deeply Lori had descended into her own delusions. For her, the deaths of her children were not the result of murder or conspiracy, but part of a divine plan, one that only she could comprehend. She saw herself as a victim of cosmic forces, a woman chosen by God to endure unimaginable suffering in the name of a higher purpose. But for Colby, there was no solace in Lori's words. He couldn't accept her story, couldn't reconcile her beliefs with the brutal reality of what had happened to Ty Lee and JJ, and so he made a heartbreaking decision. "I forgive you," he told his mother, his voice heavy with grief, "but you cannot be a part of my children's lives." It was a final devastating blow. Colby had lost his siblings, and now he was losing his mother as well. The woman who had once been his protector, his caretaker, had become someone he no longer recognized, someone whose beliefs were so far removed from reality that they could never truly be reconciled. "I don't feel like I know you anymore," he said, his voice thick with emotion. "You and I cannot agree on these things." And with that, the conversation came to an end. Lori had said her piece, offered her version of events and tried to convince her son that she had been acting in accordance with God's will. But for Colby, there was no redemption in her words, only a deep, painful understanding that the mother he had once known was gone, lost to a world of delusions and darkness. As the prison phone clicked off, one thing was clear. Lori Vallow would never accept responsibility for what had happened to her children. She would continue to insist that she had been acting under divine orders, that she had been chosen for a special mission, and that one day the truth would be revealed to everyone. But for Colby and for the rest of the world, the truth was already clear. Tylee and JJ were dead, their lives cut short by a mother who had chosen to believe in a dangerous fantasy rather than face the reality of her own actions. And so the story of Lori Vallow, the so-called cult mom, came to its tragic, inevitable conclusion. It was a story of delusion, of madness, and of the devastating consequences of a woman who had lost herself in a web of lies and religious fanaticism. But it was also a story of grief, of a son who had lost not only his siblings, but also his mother, and of a family shattered by the terrible, incomprehensible actions of one woman. In the end, Lori Vallow may have believed she was carrying out God's will. But for those left behind, the reality was far more heartbreaking and far more horrifying.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
Well, they said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you've taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Say hello to making everyday routines a bit more magical. Say hello to sunshine and goodbye to boring. Say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that are just friendly. Products that add a little everyday yay to your day. Like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. Doesn't exist, you say? It's just a myth, a legend, a unicorn. Yeah, it's a unicorn. Hello's Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, and it makes brushing fun. Also prevents cavities, strengthens enamel, helps brush away plaque, and all that important toothpastey stuff. And they didn't forget adults. That's where Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste comes in. It takes care of plaque, tartar, and bad breath for a friendly mouth. And it's made with farm-grown peppermint for a friendly flavor. Speaking of friendly, Hello is vegan, cruelty-free, and not tested on animals. So take your day to the next level, a happier one. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish, but breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Say hello to making everyday routines a bit more magical. Say hello to sunshine and goodbye to boring. Say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that are just friendly. Products that add a little everyday yay to your day. Like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. Doesn't exist, you say? It's just a myth, a legend, a unicorn. Yeah, it's a unicorn. Hello's Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, and it makes brushing fun. Also prevents cavities, strengthens enamel, helps brush away plaque, and all that important toothpastey stuff. And they didn't forget adults. That's where Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste comes in. It takes care of plaque, tartar, and bad breath for a friendly mouth. And it's made with farm-grown peppermint for a friendly flavor. Speaking of friendly, Hello is vegan, cruelty-free, and not tested on animals. So take your day to the next level, a happier one. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Say hello to making everyday routines a bit more magical. Say hello to sunshine and goodbye to boring. Say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that are just friendly. Products that add a little everyday yay to your day. Like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. Doesn't exist, you say? It's just a myth, a legend, a unicorn. Yeah, it's a unicorn. Hello's Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, and it makes brushing fun. Also prevents cavities, strengthens enamel, helps brush away plaque, and all that important toothpastey stuff. And they didn't forget adults. That's where Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste comes in. It takes care of plaque, tartar, and bad breath for a friendly mouth. And it's made with farm-grown peppermint for a friendly flavor. Speaking of friendly, Hello is vegan, cruelty-free, and not tested on animals. So take your day to the next level, a happier one. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Say hello to making everyday routines a bit more magical. Say hello to sunshine and goodbye to boring. Say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that are just friendly. Products that add a little everyday yay to your day. Like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. Doesn't exist, you say? It's just a myth, a legend, a unicorn. Yeah, it's a unicorn. Hello's Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, and it makes brushing fun. Also prevents cavities, strengthens enamel, helps brush away plaque, and all that important toothpastey stuff. And they didn't forget adults. That's where Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste comes in. It takes care of plaque, tartar, and bad breath for a friendly mouth. And it's made with farm-grown peppermint for a friendly flavor. Speaking of friendly, Hello is vegan, cruelty-free, and not tested on animals. So take your day to the next level, a happier one. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Say hello to making everyday routines a bit more magical. Say hello to sunshine and goodbye to boring. Say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that are just friendly. Products that add a little everyday yay to your day. Like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. Doesn't exist, you say? It's just a myth, a legend, a unicorn. Yeah, it's a unicorn. Hello's Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, and it makes brushing fun. Also prevents cavities, strengthens enamel, helps brush away plaque, and all that important toothpastey stuff. And they didn't forget adults. That's where Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste comes in. It takes care of plaque, tartar, and bad breath for a friendly mouth. And it's made with farm-grown peppermint for a friendly flavor. Speaking of friendly, Hello is vegan, cruelty-free, and not tested on animals. So take your day to the next level, a happier one. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Say hello to making everyday routines a bit more magical. Say hello to sunshine and goodbye to boring. Say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that are just friendly. Products that add a little everyday yay to your day. Like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. Doesn't exist, you say? It's just a myth, a legend, a unicorn. Yeah, it's a unicorn. Hello's Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, and it makes brushing fun. Also prevents cavities, strengthens enamel, helps brush away plaque, and all that important toothpastey stuff. And they didn't forget adults. That's where Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste comes in. It takes care of plaque, tartar, and bad breath for a friendly mouth. And it's made with farm-grown peppermint for a friendly flavor. Speaking of friendly, Hello is vegan, cruelty-free, and not tested on animals. So take your day to the next level, a happier one. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
What if your top salesperson was 1,000 times more efficient? And what if a limitless digital workforce helped your number one find leads? A super team working 24/7 on their behalf, thinking, acting, and solving complex tasks so more deals closed. What if with every sale, each customer felt like they were the only customer? That would be one very efficient sales leader. Now, imagine if every person on your team worked to the power of 1,000. They can with Agentforce, the powerful AI from Salesforce.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.